Good morning, church. I want to tell you, take you back to 1998. In 1998, Heather and I were living in the state of Delaware. We had lived in Connecticut, we moved to Delaware, and while we were there for a year and a half, we realized we don't want to live in Delaware anymore. We want to be part of a church plant in New England, and we thought about New Hampshire as a place that we had loved, and we want to plant the church in New Hampshire. We had some friends there in Delaware who also started to get this desire to plant a church in New Hampshire. So the four of us began making plans for this project. And those friends that had decided they were going to do this with us, they actually backed out at the last minute. And we tried to press forward. We sold our house in Delaware. We put a deposit on a place in New Hampshire. We were sure that God had called us back to New England. And then we got an email from the church planting strategist that we were working with. And instead of working through some of the difficult conversations we had had previously, he decided to abruptly just pull the plug on the entire project. And just like that, the plans that we had been making came to a halt. And we were left with no clear plans forward, not sure where we were gonna live now. It was obviously a time of uncertainty. It was a time of frustration. We were left questioning what just happened, what just went wrong, and also wondering what was going to come next for us. Maybe you've been in a similar place before. No matter how well you planned, things seem to spin out of control, and it leaves you in this place where you're unsettled and you're searching for some kind of peace. Things like this highlight our fallen condition as human beings. And I wrote it out this way in that thing we call the take home. If you open the bulletin, it's in there called the take home. I wrote it out this way. Our fallen nature makes us believe that we can create our own peace. But the truth is, we can't. We can't control our future. We cannot escape suffering in this life. And we can't solve all of life's problems on our own. And we are restless because deep down inside, we are trying to hold on to control instead of trusting in Jesus. Anybody been there? Join my support group? Maybe you're there now. I don't know. But this fallen condition is what Jesus speaks to in John 14 and in John 16. And if you have been paying any attention to my preaching over the last 4 years, you'll realize I spent a lot of time talking about peace because I'm trying to understand how the Lord does this, because I see him do it every single day in people's lives. I'm saying, Lord, how do you do this? How do you do it? The disciples experienced something similar to what you and I experience. In John 14, Jesus told them that he was leaving and that their world was about to change. They were anxious and they were afraid. This is just like you and I when things feel uncertain. And in John 16, Jesus said that there was going to be tribulation. He just was upfront with them about that. There are going to be hardships, disciples, that you cannot avoid. And just like us, they struggled to trust Jesus, often trying to take control for themselves. So before we read Jesus' words this morning, I want to ask you, what is the situation in your life right now for which you need Jesus' unshakable peace? What is that thing that's going on in your life right now for which you need Jesus' unshakable peace? Let that question settle in a little bit. Maybe write that down in your take home as we turn over to John 14 and verse 16. So find the scriptures that are printed in the take home. You'll see them on the screen. If you want to grab one of our copies of the Bible underneath the chairs there, you can see it there as well. We're going to read from the ESV version of the Bible in John 14. We're going to look at verse 25 through 27, if you have your own Bible. John 14, 25 through 27. So this is what Jesus speaks to his disciples on that very last night that he spent with them before he would be tried. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And then John 16, we're going to look at verses 31 through 33. John 16, 31 through 33. A little bit later, Jesus answered them and he said, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me," notice that "in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." So Jesus' peace is shown here for us as a gift. It's a gift that is wrapped up in all of God's promises that we sang about this morning. And unlike the fleeting peace that the world tries to wrap up really nicely, Jesus' peace is an unshakable peace. You might be wondering, what makes it so unshakable? And that's what I've been wondering for the last 4 years. And why would I want to receive this gift rather than the one that the world's trying to give me? So the first thing, the way I wrote it down was this: the world's peace doesn't last. The world's peace doesn't last, but Jesus' peace does last. John 14, 27. You see, the world's peace is fragile. It only lasts when things are going well, and it then disappears when life starts to get tough. But Jesus' peace is different for us. It's not tied up in what we're going through in our circumstances, but it's rooted and grounded in Jesus himself. He gives us a deep sense of well-being, no matter what we're facing. And that's what makes it unshakable. This world's peace is a lot like building a sandcastle, right? Or building a house on sand. It might look really nice. I've seen some really nice sandcastles at the beach. I've seen some really nice things that you can build on sand. But it turns out that when the storm comes, that house is going to collapse. But Jesus' peace is like that house that is built on a rock. And nothing is going to take it down, no matter what life throws at it. After tragedy struck in my life, I spent 9 years trying to find peace the world's way. When I found out after 9 years that peace that I would receive was very short-lived. When I finally let go after 9 years and started to seek only Jesus' peace and not the world's, I began to find the real thing. Now I get to see this in the lives of the people that I get to work with on a regular basis. When people come in burdened and we seek the scriptures together and we spend time in prayer together and we work through their struggles one at a time, in a lot of cases, at the end of the session, I'll often ask them about the distress that they came in with at the beginning. And 95% of the time, the people will tell me, "I'm not upset about that stuff that we worked on at all." I said, "Not even a little bit? Like, is even a little bit?" "No, not even a little bit." Weeks later, I'll talk to that person. I'll say, "Hey, remember that thing we worked on? How's it going?" "Still not upset about it." The thing is, they have learned to trust the peace that God speaks about in Isaiah 26, 3 that we've looked at before. It's called God's shalom, shalom. It's doubled. And the way we translate it in English is perfect peace. Shalom, shalom. It's a peace but it's a perfect peace. It's a peace that's perfect. And that's what makes it unshakable. In Philippians 4, Paul will call God's peace that passes understanding, that peace that transcends our ability to understand what is happening. And that's why I've been studying this for 4 years, and I still feel like I'm just scratching the surface. It's hard to understand and fully explain how God does the thing that he does in our lives when he brings us his peace. But it's real, and it lasts, because it's rooted in Jesus, not in our circumstances. His peace endures through anything that we face. I want to say even that current thing that you're worried about right now. So as we unwrap this, get further, we see that Jesus' peace is rooted in his victory over the world. We sang about it in that song, "It is finished," upon that cross. So the way I wrote this down is that Jesus already won the battle. Jesus has already won the battle, John 16:33. So Jesus doesn't offer us this peace and hope that it's going to last. His peace is anchored in his victory. And when he says, "I have overcome the world," what he's saying is, "I've already won the battle that you're facing right now." This means complete conquest. It's not like Jesus won part of the battle and you need to win the back half or something like that. No, Jesus has made a complete conquest of whatever that thing that is in front of you. His peace that he gives isn't a fragile one. It's rooted in the fact that the hardest battle, which was your sin, Jesus has done away with. He's already fought and won that battle. Think about David, who stood before Goliath. It wasn't David's strength, it wasn't David's skill, though David was as strong as he could possibly be, I suppose, and he was as skilled as he could possibly be. But it wasn't those things that made it possible for him to take down that giant. What made it possible was David's understanding that the battle is the Lord's. The battle was the Lord's, so that's why he moved forward in confidence and strength that day. And it's that same confidence that's available to you today and is available to me. We can stand firm knowing that the outcome is secure by Jesus' victory on our behalf. There's a lyric by Shane and Shane in one of their songs. I don't know if you know this, but the church helped send Megan to a worship conference a while back because she was interested in learning more about worship. In that conference, we got to hear the guy who wrote these lyrics. I think he actually got the lyrics from a friend of him who sent him a text, and that's where these lyrics came from. But they wrote it this way. They said, "I am fighting a battle that you've already won. No matter what comes my way, I will overcome. I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done." And that was the lyric that his friend sent him in the text. I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. That's the confidence that we have in Jesus. We may not always know what he's up to. We may not always know what's ahead, but we know what he has accomplished for us on our behalf. He's won the battle for the peace in your situation that you brought in here this morning. So the next layer to unwrap shows that this peace doesn't remove trouble, but it gives us the strength to endure trouble. And so trouble is inevitable. That's what Jesus says to us here. Trouble is inevitable, it is coming, but peace is also available along with the inevitability of that trouble, John 16:33. We're gonna have pressure. We're going to have distress. We're going to have hard times. But there's good news. Even through trouble, and even though it's unavoidable, Jesus says to take heart, to have courage. His peace isn't going to depend on us trying to avoid difficulties. That's what I tried to do for 9 years, was try to avoid as many difficult things as I could, because I already experienced enough difficulty. But it's a peace that Jesus gives us that is steady no matter what life puts in front of us. I want you to imagine you're in a storm. you're out on the ocean and the winds are howling and the rain is pouring down on you and there's chaos all around. The disciples had this happen on a number of occasions. But the thing is that we have an anchor that keeps us grounded in the storm. It's that anchor is Jesus. Life's storms are going to come, but Jesus' peace is going to keep us steady so that we're not drifting away. When my friends backed out of the church plant, it felt chaotic. It felt like, where is my anchor? When the church planting strategist said, I'm not helping you plant this church. Wow. The winds are howling. The waves are getting bigger. Lord, I don't know what's happening here. Right? That's what it felt like. But Jesus was saying to me, take heart, take courage. I am your anchor. We sing a song that says, my anchor holds within the veil. It's one of the songs we sing here. My anchor holds within the veil. I think we know what an anchor is, but what is a veil? And I went looking on this, and one explanation is the curtain in the temple separating the people from God's presence. In the Old Testament, when you went into the tabernacle or when you went into the temple, there was a place where normal people couldn't go. It was beyond that veil. And on the other side of the veil was the presence of God. When Jesus died, it says that temple was torn in two. That thing that separated from us from God's presence was the veil, but in a sense, it was our sin that separated us from God. Jesus did away with that. He defeated sin and death in the grave. So when Jesus died, it was torn, giving us direct access to God. We don't need a priest to go into that space for us like we did before. So my anchor holds within the veil means that our anchor, Jesus, is secure in God's presence. Even when we can't see that anchor, he holds us firm, giving us peace that is going to sustain us through any storm. His peace is not just a surface peace, it's rooted in God's presence, where no storm can really touch us. Do you see why Jesus was sleeping in the bottom of the boat? Well, that storm was happening that one time because he was anchored in the Father God. He was anchored in God's presence. And that's why this peace is available for that present thing that you thought about this morning, because it's anchored in God's presence. So as we look at finally at the heart of this gift here, we discovered that the Holy Spirit also is our constant source of peace, guiding us every day. So the Holy Spirit is your constant source of peace, John 14:26. Here's the incredible part. Jesus didn't just leave us with a promise of peace and walk away. He gave us the Holy Spirit as a helper and as a comforter. The Spirit is an advocate who's by our side all the time. Think of this like a peace coach of some kind, right? Teaching us and guiding us daily to live in that peace that Jesus is offering us in these passages. The Spirit keeps us connected to that unshakable peace that Jesus has just offered us. It's like having a personal trainer, if you've ever had one, when you go to lift weights or work out at the gym. Years ago, when I was in college, I had this amateur bodybuilder. I don't know why, but he took me on as a case, and he took me and showed me how all the weights worked at the gym. He showed me how to do all the exercises. I haven't seen or heard from that guy since college. But you know what? Whenever I'm in my room doing my exercises, I can hear his voice. Vinny, do it fundamentally correct. You know, do 12 of those, all right? Vinny, you're at 10. You can do 11. You can do 12, right? And that is what how this Holy Spirit works for us. The Holy Spirit's always reminding us of the things that Jesus said. You've got this. You can do all things through Christ, right? Two more of those, right? Whatever it is, the Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit is guiding us and leading us back to Jesus' words. So as we unwrap the gift of Jesus' unshakable peace, we discover that this gift changes everything. It changes everything because it's not just a peace that you and I have created for ourselves. It's something that Jesus has given to us. So how do we live in this? Once we start to open up this peace, like how do we take it with us wherever we go? Let's start by trusting in Jesus' victory over our trials. So I wrote it out this way: trust Jesus' victory over your trials. You see, that word overcome means to conquer or win a decisive victory. That's what happened when David knocked down Goliath. That was a decisive victory, and it led to more victory for the Israelites. When Jesus says, "I have overcome the world," he's reminding us of the ultimate victory over sin, over death, over all spiritual forces. He has already won that battle. Joe said it last week in a sermon really, really well. We are united. You and I are united, he said, to the risen Christ. You and I are united to the reigning Christ. And you and I are united to the victorious Christ, who is right now seated at the right hand of the Father. This means that we can trust that no matter what the challenges are that we're facing, whether it's a financial crisis that you're going through, whether it's a relationship issue that you have with somebody, whether it's a health scare that's come up this week, our hope rests in Christ's finished work. It is finished, Jesus said. The next time you feel yourself overwhelmed, I want you to remind yourself that the battle belongs to the Lord. He's already secured ultimate victory for you. So our role is not to win the battle, but to trust in the victory that Jesus has already secured. When people reach out to me on the phone for counseling, we have a discussion. It usually takes about a half an hour for me to understand what they want and where they are, so I can tell them whether or not I think I can help them. And often when they come to that first session to meet with me after we've talked on the phone, I'll ask them, what's changed since you and I had that conversation? What have you noticed since we had that conversation on the phone? And a lot of people will tell me, I feel a lot more hopeful. And one of the reasons they'll tell me that they feel hopeful is because I think I told them something like, God's going to help them, that they're going to make progress, that I've seen it happen hundreds of times with other people, that it can happen with them. But what's really cool as I was studying this is I realized, yes, I have confidence in what the Lord's going to do for this person who I'm on the phone with and in that first session. And the reason I have confidence in that is because I've seen him do it hundreds of times with other people. But what's really neat that Jesus is showing us here, yes, we can count on his track record. But one of the reasons we can have such confidence is because before all this ever happened, he secured the person's peace that I'm going to meet with this week. You get it? Yes, I've seen it happen hundreds of times, so I'm confident it's going to happen this week. But what Jesus is showing me here today is the thing that I have to help somebody with this week, or the thing that I need peace for this week, he's already won the battle on the cross. I have victory over this thing, whatever it is. I'm going to be able to handle it because the Lord is in my boat. He is going to calm the seas. He's going to be there. His presence with me is that most important thing. So the next time that you face a trial, I'm going to encourage you to say out loud, Jesus, you have already overcome this thing that's in front of me. And repeat that whenever fear or doubt starts to creep in. Lean into that truth as you pray and navigate that situation. Jesus' victory is only one part of the peace that he offers us. The next step of unwrapping this gift is learning to turn away from what the world is offering us. So I wrote it this way: turn away from the world's false peace. Turn away from the world's false peace. We know that the peace that Jesus offers us is different because the world gives us a temporary solution. The world gives us distractions. The world gives us things like that I have perfected, like avoidance, perfectionism, people-pleasing. But these are short-term fixes that never really satisfy in the long run. Jesus offers us something deeper and lasting. So the next time you're tempted like me to find peace by avoiding your feelings or avoiding that person or avoiding that situation or chasing after perfection, if I could only do this perfectly, then I'll have peace. Or if I could just please all the people around me, then I'll have peace. Next time you're tempted to do that, I'm going to encourage you to ask yourself a question. Is this really giving me real peace, or is this just numbing me so I don't have to feel. Is this giving me real peace, or is this just numbing me for a while? You see, Jesus offers us a peace that is whole, not just distraction, not just temporary relief. He wants to give you something that's going to help in the long run. I worked with a young woman who turned to social media whenever she faced a challenge, hoping to escape from her problems there on her phone. Scrolling just distracted her from what she was supposed to face. And it wasn't until she started turning to Jesus that she began to experience his real peace, a peace that addressed the root of the struggles that she was facing, not just numbing them with her phone. So the next time that you're looking for comfort in anything other than Christ, I want to encourage you to take a moment and pray this prayer. Jesus, I need your real peace, not the world's distractions. Instead of turning for something that's going to help you for a few minutes, spend some time in silence, spend some time in prayer in the scriptures, and allow God's peace to fill your heart and bring you that true wholeness that he can bring you. So we looked at trusting Jesus' victory, turning away from the world's false peace, but there's more. Unwrapping this gift of peace also means that we need to surrender our fears to Jesus, which I think is a hard thing for a lot of us. So we surrender our fears to Jesus because he tells us that there is going to be trouble. And when he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled," he's inviting us to choose his calm and release the anxiety that wants to grab a hold of us. So whether it's your kids that you're worried about, or your job that you're worried about, or maybe your health that you're worried about, I want you to pause and I want you to picture yourself physically handing those fears to Jesus. Ask him to replace the fear with his peace. Make that exchange. That's an exchange I think Jesus will always make with you. I was working with somebody a few weeks ago, and they had some childhood memories that were brought up because a friend here in the present had betrayed them, and it was triggering all the stuff from the person's childhood. She worried that this might happen again, that someone might betray her in the future, like was happening here in the present. And as we began to work through it, she got this image of a helium balloon. And every time she had that fear creep up, she'd place it in the helium balloon, and we'd envision Jesus floating that helium balloon up to God the Father. And we might have done this 50 times, 100 times, but we kept doing it. And she could see that her anxiety was floating up to the Father. So the next time you feel overwhelmed with fear, you can pray this prayer: Jesus, I surrender this fear to you. I trust you with this, and just give it to him. The Bible says that we cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. You can say this out loud. You can write it down as a declaration. Or maybe you want to use that helium balloon metaphor that she used. I can tell you that it works. The other night, I'm in bed, and I had just gotten a quote for this tiny little bathroom that we have at our house. And there was a lot of zeros in the quote I got. So yeah, the work done on this, right? I'm saying to myself, this is bad. And I was trying to think, all right, who are all these people I can call? What about that? That thing's got to move over here. That thing needs to go 5 feet from here. And I was like, you know what? I think I want to sleep right now. I'm in bed, right? I need to sleep right now. So I said, what was that thing? The helium balloon. Oh yeah, the helium balloon. And I just started floating up each one of those things. And I was sitting there in bed. My brain was like a ping pong ball. It was going around. I was thinking about all the ways to fix the bathroom. And every time I thought of a new one, I just stuck in a helium balloon and floated it up. Typically, this would take typically I would lose about half an hour, 2 hours of sleep. The helium balloon thing works for me anyway. So you should try it. I was sleeping in like 3 or 4 minutes. So give it a try. Float that stuff up to Father God. You know, as we continue unwrapping this gift of peace, there's one last thing I want to say, and that is we need to stay connected to the Holy Spirit's peace. Stay connected to the Holy Spirit's peace. We've already seen how the Holy Spirit works to bring peace into our lives by connecting us to what Jesus has said. So the next time you feel disconnected from peace, like I did in bed and thinking about all those renovations, ask the Holy Spirit to remind you of Jesus' promises to restore that peace within you. maybe you have, like me, a GPS on your phone, and I get frustrated whenever I drive in the Boston. I go into the parking garage, and I come out of the parking garage after I've done with the vent, whatever happened, and I'm driving. I'm like, I don't know which, am I supposed to go left? Am I supposed to go right? I'm not connected to the satellite. I just go left and hope I went the right way or whatever. Maybe you know what I'm talking about. So thank God the Holy Spirit isn't like that. We never have to lose connection with the Holy Spirit. The Bible says we can quench the Spirit. I guess we would lose connection at that point, but we don't have to do that. We're always connected to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides inside of us. Even when we feel lost, he's always there, guiding us back to peace. He's always available. So the next time you're feeling anxious or you're feeling lost, I'm going to encourage you to pray, Holy Spirit, remind me of Jesus' promises. Guide me into that peace today. Take a moment to pause, to breathe deeply, and listen for the Spirit's voice. I've noticed with the people I work with, when we slow down, almost always they're able to connect with the Holy Spirit. When we slow down, when we breathe together, when we listen for the Spirit's voice, he will guide us back to Jesus. How do I know this? Well, let me take you back to that church planting story that went sideways. You see, God didn't leave Heather and me in that troubled state. He met us in our uncertainty, and he led us actually to Framingham, Massachusetts, of all places. We didn't have a perfect plan. We didn't have ideal circumstances. In fact, we ended up planting a church here in Framingham with another couple. And 6 years later, that couple moved, leaving us with the church on our own. And a lot of people in the church in, you know, the year before that and the year after that left the area, left Massachusetts, moved out of state. And we, you know, on my great preaching, the church got smaller and smaller until we were meeting in this space, and they were like, oh, we don't need that anymore. Let's get a smaller space. Oh, we don't need that anymore. We can just be in someone's living room now, right? So it turns out we ended up merging that church with Crossroads, which probably is a sermon illustration for another day. But here's the key, I think. Jesus had already won the victory over those circumstances long before I realized it. And in that moment, the world had nothing of value to offer me. All that we could do was surrender our fears to Jesus daily and stay connected to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knew exactly where we needed to be. So how do we unwrap the gift of Jesus' unshakable peace? It all comes back to Jesus, not to you, not to me. He won the victory, so we don't have to fight for this peace. He exposes the false promises of the world, offering us something deeper than that and more lasting. He invites us to surrender our fears, like in that balloon, knowing that he can carry the stuff that you and I can't carry. And he gives us the Holy Spirit who can keep us grounded in that peace every single day. And as one of my friends in the church will remind me, every single moment we can stay close to Christ. The peace that Jesus offers isn't just a distant hope. It's something that we can live in together as a church right now. We don't walk this journey alone. We have a community here. And Steve was talking about that earlier, how much we love talking to each other. But imagine Jesus' peace is ours. It's not just individual, but it's a body thing. It's a church thing. And if you're feeling overwhelmed or anxious, we can begin to remind each other that Jesus has already won the victory. We can encourage each other to trust in his peace, help each other let go of distractions, and pray together as we surrender these fears one by one. Let's lean into this peace together as a church, not just for ourselves, but to be a community that is united in Christ. Because his peace is here. The kingdom of God is among us. It's ours to share and to experience with one another. So take a moment and reflect on what God has been saying to you today. The worship team is going to come forward, and we're going to sing about God's peace. The lyric says that it flows like a river. Let it flow like a river to you this morning.